Let's go, baby!
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lockman.
At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Here's into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo. Touchdown, Sammy Watkins.
Woo! Woo! It's go time. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Season ticket sales at a record high. How did that happen? Give us a call and let us know what you think. Russ Brandon, Bills president, joins us in studio at 7:30 to talk about the spike in season ticket sales. We'll talk about the Raiders possibly moving to Los Angeles with Mike Wegeman of Silver and Black Illustrated. And coming up at 8:30, our old buddy Paul Peck from Monday Quarterback Club in Buffalo will talk to us about their program coming up this year.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
How did that happen? How did season ticket numbers get to a record high? Amazing. A team that has not been in the postseason in 15 years. Second smallest market in the National Football League. No quarterback answer immediately on the horizon. How did that happen? Well, that's what we want to hear from you. If you are a Bills season ticket member, as we call them, member, or someone who follows this franchise closely, give us a call. Let us know. It is a record number of season tickets sold this year. 57,500, I should say, smashing the record from 1992, a 23-year-old record. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that. The lines are open. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free at 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it by Twitter at John Murphy Show. The Bills season tickets set a record today. The team announced today with more than 57,500 season tickets sold, the highest total in the 55-year history of the franchise. Last year, the Bills sold 47,482. The previous high, 57,132, set in 1992. Pretty amazing. Give us your thoughts on that. What does it mean to set a franchise record for season tickets? Why, if you're a season ticket holder, are you in? What is it you like about that? What is it that brought you back if you just got in this year? 803-0550, the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already. Vinny W. says, the games are fun to go to in great atmosphere. It's also cheap to go to the game compared to other areas. There's a lot of truth to that. It is a very affordable NFL ticket, comparatively speaking. Right now, the Bills are a bargain, I think, in the world of professional sports. Bean Sr. tweets in, Vince, the earlier tweeter, nailed it. The atmosphere at a Bills game all day is outstandingly fun. Bill tweets in, different take. Why are the Bills fans responding? Why are the record sales this year? Bill tweets in, because Bills fans are desperate and gullible. Okay, if you think so, Bill. Thanks for participating. But why? Tom Wilson tweets in, hope. Justin Gravestock tweets in, not a member yet, but we simply have the greatest fans in professional sports. You can make that argument. Louis Estrada tweets in, I'm not a holder, but I think the new ownership, new offensive playmakers, the defensive last season, and the record are the main reasons. Go Bills. A lot of reasons why, but we want to hear yours. Why do you think the Bills set a record this year for the most season tickets sold in franchise history? 57,500 plus. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Russ Brandon going to join us at the bottom of the hour, but he met the media earlier today, and he pretty much said the team is thrilled to announce the new season ticket record this year.
I think it's pretty much not a secret anymore, but we're obviously thrilled to announce that we have broken our season ticket record since 1992, and we're right now north of 57.5 for the season. So obviously it's exciting times for the organization. It's a credit to our fans and their loyalty, obviously. We have the best fans in the NFL. It's proven year in and year out. It's a credit to our ticket office and our customer service staff who work year-round to try to make this work and have done an excellent job. The leadership of Chris Clear and Mike Chahosky and the entire staff have done just outstanding work. But, you know, first and foremost, it goes to our fans. It goes to our ownership, the Pagulas, who have obviously provided stability for this franchise in Western New York. As I said, at the time of the sale, the collective anvil that had been on the back of all of our shoulders, and we were able to put that in Lake Erie, and that played a huge role in today's announcement. We also, you know, people have asked me about when this started. Ticket sales in all of our business is a year-round business. And since September of last year, really October, when the Pegulas bought the franchise, we had record renewal rates, record deposits for ticket sales. So this started in the fall of last year, and obviously we're thrilled where we are today, and it's a credit to our fans.
Russ Brandon, Bills team president. We're going to have Russ in studio with us at the bottom of the hour and talk more about this, but let's hear from you. And I think what Russ said about the ownership stability, to me, is reason number one that season ticket sales are at a record high. And as Russ pointed out, since September of last year, and you recall the announcement that the Pegulas had been chosen as the prospective owners, came out just before the home opener last September, mid-September, and then they finalized the deal in mid-October. And since then, Russ Brandon said, the team has had record renewal rates and record deposits. If you're one of those people who felt really good about the future of the franchise and the long-term stability of the franchise, we want to hear from you, especially tonight. I think that is underplayed when it comes to season ticket sales. It's easy to look at what's gone on around here since January, since Rex Ryan was hired and brought in that staff, what he calls, what, an all-star staff, since early March when the free agent signings began and the Bills added names like LeSean McCoy and Percy Harvin, Jerome Felton, Charles Clay. All right, that was a factor, certainly. Just the general air of optimism around the team, that's huge. But what about the long-term stability of the team? Is that something that led you to buy a season ticket for the Buffalo Bills? Give us a call. We've got lines open. 803-0550, the number. I'm outside Buffalo, toll-free. It's 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Western New York Water Cooler tweets, "It's a party. Been a member for 11 years. The whole crew goes. Tradition." Yeah, I think that's true. I think there is a tradition here. And the fact that the tradition stayed strong through that 15-year playoff drought, to me, means a lot. Anthony Faso, 11 years a season ticket holder. Fans appreciate good years ahead. Also, seniority for seats in new stadium. Michael Partham says, best way to answer how the season ticket holder record was broken is to ask fans who just bought them this year why they did. Yep, fans who just bought them, but I do think fans who have held them for a while through the lean years on the field, I think they have a lot to do with this season ticket record. I mean, what's the baseline? What's the, rock bottom? I have the chart in front of me. You get down to the 30,000s in 2001 and 2002, 31,000 in 1998, and now the season ticket number is at 57,000. So what's that, a 26,000? I mean, that's like a 60. Jay, do the math for me, can you? No, you can't do it that quick, neither can I. But we're talking about a 60% rise in season tickets since 1998, 31,000 to 57,000, right? Am I doing it right? 26, yeah. 20, it's like 75% increase. I mean, those are the people that, you got to salute, the people who stuck with it when things were bad. And, you know, the playoff drought is still not over yet. But I give those people a ton of credit. The people, obviously the new people who signed up, but those who stayed with it all these years. A couple of other tweets. John Deniker tweets, "In hope, Pegula, talent level, and notable coach." And Vince Guarino tweets, "In it's the most promising roster in 15 years. People want to be there." And then there's Rex. He's one of us. That's the prevailing sentiment. And I will say this, Jay, and I wonder if you would care to chime in on this, show producer Jay Harris.
I was going to say, you got to set producer. Me up right.
I want to say this. Now that we know that there's such high demand, I look for season ticket sales to increase. I mean, Russ talked today, and we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour, about a cap of 60,000. They're at 57.5 plus. Now that, you know, season tickets are becoming scarce, I think there'll be an even further boost, don't you? And people see the, you know, what do you get when you get season tickets? First of all, you get the opportunity to add to it with individual game tickets. And there are a variety of other things, including parking passes that are discounted, discounts at the Bill store, all of that stuff. NFL Game Rewind, free access to that, all 22. That's pretty important. But now that people know, hey, if I don't buy a season ticket, I might not get a ticket, I look for that season ticket number to even go up further.
Absolutely. You might not get a ticket, period. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. And I think the benefits with season tickets are greatly appreciated with the fans that do buy in and have bought in over the years. I have plenty of friends who continually buy season tickets just because they know that they're guaranteed a great seat at a low price in the NFL to watch a key matchup every single week. I mean, you're watching the best of the best every single week. There's no doubt in their minds that they would renew. No, I mean, we can put the team aside. They're going to come to Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Yeah. There are NFL. This is an NFL market. It's not a college market.
Correct.
I mean, as much as headway as the UB Bulls have made, it's an NFL market with intense interest in the league. Hence our show, our little two-hour show, weeknights, right? I mean, that's why we're here. People care about the NFL. So there's that. And even when the Bills are going through lean years, I think fans are still connected to the NFL, love the NFL. I think more than most other markets in the NFL. And you'll see that it's reflected in television ratings for Super Bowls and Sunday Night Football and things like that.
I lived with a season ticket holder for a little bit. And every Sunday morning, before I would have to get up and go into work to do my duties, he would be in there talking to himself in the mirror, pumping himself up, putting eye black on, gearing up. He's jingling all over the place like a lost cat. He's great. I mean, season ticket holders are unbelievable. The passion that they put into it. And that's why we're calling on the fans to call in and those that are season ticket holders to call in and tell us why do they continue to return is unbelievable. Not just this year, but in years past and continuing to hold on. And somebody, I think, tweeted in the fact that there's hope.
Yeah.
And I think that drives a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, every year it gets the hope tank is filled a little bit more. And now with Pegula joining on, I mean, it's at an all-time high.
I became a season ticket holder myself in 1978 when I got out of Syracuse University, came home to go to school in Buffalo, bought a season ticket even though I really couldn't afford it. I don't know how I got the money, but I had two seats and went. I think I held those tickets for a couple of years and loved it. I mean, I felt like I had missed out when I was away at school. I went to a couple of games, but I wanted to dive in with both feet. And then I started to work in radio and work on Sundays. I got rid of the season tickets, but I got back in 98 when the push was on to sell the suites and the premium seats. Bought a couple of premium suites in the aptly named Van Miller Club, and I've had those seats ever since. So what's that, 98? So what's that, 17 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, why do I do that? Because people love going to the games. I've never said, how about this? I might have this record.
Just going to ask you.
I might be one of the very few season ticket holders, members, one of the very few season ticket members who's never sat in my seats. What kind of a fool am I? Fortunately, I have friends and family who
are so much of a Bills fan that I'll buy seats.
I'll buy them and never even use them. That's where I'm at. 803-0550, the number to call with your thoughts. Bills season ticket sales, a record this year, up to 57,500. Last year, they were at 47,400. The previous record, 1992, 57,132. And it is a new record this year for Bills season ticket members. Give us your thoughts on that. Why do you think that is? What happened? And how about those folks, as I said, who have stuck with it for 15 years without a playoff spot and really provided the base for that record to be set? Give us a call. Lines are open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of other tweets on this. Daryl Jones tweets in, this should be a special season. First time the Bills will make the playoffs in several years, maybe. Okay. Paul Straub tweets in, first time season ticket holder with my 14-year-old son. A lot of excitement surrounding the moves the Bills have made this year. The Bills can tell you, and they do the research, the ticket people can tell you, how much that demand is based on the up and down nature of the one loss record. I think there's some of that at work here too, obviously, with the anticipation for the upcoming season, the moves, the coaching move. But I also, the number one reason is the stable ownership. The fact that we know now that the Bills are here to stay forever, exactly the way the Pegulas put it last October when they finally got the team. Russ Brandon talked about that today. He was asked if this season ticket record is a testament to what's gone on behind the scenes or the excitement about the product on the field.
I think it's a combination of everything, but the foundation of where we are today is squarely pointed at the Pegulas buying the franchise. And again, you know, that we have been living with the fact of keeping this team viable in Western New York for the last 18 years that I've been here has been our number one focus as a business. And to see where we are today is obviously humbling for all of us that have been involved in it. But everything stops and starts with the ownership and the stability that the Pegulas have provided us.
Even with that, Russ, with all the excitement, let's big picture, economy, everything else, this is a team that's gone 15 years without a playoff run. And to shatter a record that was created during the middle of a Super Bowl run, how do you explain that?
Well, it's funny. We thought we were going to get the record in 2008. We had 56,011 season tickets in 2008. And that was our goal that year. We fell a little bit short. And we look back at, you know, again, the analysis over the last 17 years, our average season tickets over that time frame has been 42,944. So that's a pretty good foundation with the inventory that we have in the market. And to your point, that the team on the field has not been to the playoffs in the last 15 years is obviously difficult for anyone who's involved in this organization in any department. But it goes back to our fans, and it goes back to the loyalty they've shown, not just this year.
That is Russ Brandon, and he's going to be in studio with us in just a few moments to talk more about this. And I think the one thing that Russ said today, which resonates too, is it's humbling. He said to be where we are today is humbling for all of us that have been involved in the you know, the last several years when the Bills have not made the playoffs. A couple of more tweets on this. Finn Blazer tweets in, going to Bills games is part of a sickness, yet part of a cure as well. Good point. And Derek Lang tweets in, I also believe our good matchup this season plays into it a little this year as well as with hope, and we are here forever. Yeah, I think that's it. A call on this. Bills season ticket holders, the call is out for you. Let us know what you think. Why a season ticket record this year? And if you've been one of those who stuck with them through the 15-year playoff drought, what kept you coming? Here is Tony calling from Hinsdale. Hi, Tony. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm a longtime listener from the old WBEN days.
Oh, thanks, Tony.
I just really don't have anything about the tickets, but I just wanted to I didn't get to call in when you did the Larry Feltzer Memorial, but my all-time favorite Larry Feltzer story is when he was a Monday Night Quarterback on your show, and some particularly obnoxious caller called in and kept on ragging him, and finally, as only Larry could do, he said, listen, buddy, go, when you go home, tell your buddy Beavis hello for me.
I don't remember that one. I do not remember that. That's good. That sounds like something Larry might say.
Yeah, I remember from high school, so he was a couple years ahead of me. But
that's great. All right.
I remember when you, if I'm not mistaken, you took over from Stan Barron, right?
That's right. Yes, a long time ago, 31 years ago.
I remember the show when you introduced Howard Simon.
Yes, my successor.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was quite a while ago, but
he's part of the John Murphy coaching tree.
A long time, and I can actually hear you now because my son, in his generosity, bought me some Japanese kind of a crazy antenna that I can put my radio out of my deck, and I can hear the show now.
So where are you? Where are you calling from, Tony?
Hinsdale,
New York.
Yeah,
that's not that far away. Where's Hinsdale, New York?
It's 7 miles north of Olean.
Well, come on. Why do you need a crazy antenna to hear the show?
Because unless I'm in my car, I don't pick up the station.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's tough to get the signal down here.
Okay. Well, you can also pick it up on the app, the Bills app, and the WGR app, Tony. But thanks for listening. We appreciate that.
Well,
thanks for calling
you.
In.
All right.
Thanks.
Good night.
Longtime listener, Tony from Hinsdale. The way he talked about a the antenna. I'm thinking, do I got the right Hinsdale? Maybe he's talking about someplace else. But thanks. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening. We're talking a little bit about the season ticket record established by the Buffalo Bills today, 57,500-plus. Want to know from you why that happened this year. What is it? And if you're one of those season ticket holders, we'd especially like to hear from you and your thoughts on maybe sticking with the Bills through this tough period. Here at One Bills Drive, I would tell you it's a quiet day, but it wasn't really. Players coming in for physicals and testing because the mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. They'll be on the field at 10 a.m. tomorrow. 3 days of minicamp tomorrow, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday. And then that's it, the break before training camp, which they're on the field on Friday, July 31st. So this is it, really the last stage of the offseason this week. And players came in today for a battery of tests and meetings, not with coaches, but with everything else, taking care of all the other business. You know, I'm talking about pictures for the scoreboard, video pictures for, you know, when they're on Monday Night Football, when they show pictures of players, all of that being done today here at One Bills Drive. And so to tell you it'd be a quiet day would be wrong. It wasn't quiet. It was hectic, and it was busy here at One Bills Drive. But there was not any football work being conducted. That will be tomorrow when the three-day minicamp picks up, 10 in the morning. Rex Ryan appeared on the Rich Eisen podcast today on NFL.com, Bills head coach Rex Ryan. And among other things, he was asked who jumps out at him on the defensive side of the ball on this very talented Buffalo Bills defense.
It's hard to say because I think you got three guys that have gone to the Pro Bowl as you know, with the defensive line, and the only guy that never went was Jerry Hughes, and he's probably as good as any of them. So that's, he's not really unheralded. I know he was in the top 100 players, but he's the guy that can really jump out at, you know, he jumps out at me. We have a little nickel, you know, that plays for us, Roby, Nickel Roby. He's a little bitty dude, but he can play. I mean, he can flat play, so. You know, we're loaded back there. I can't wait for, you know, I think Stephon Gilmore is going to take a big jump as a corner for us. So I think, you know, defensively we're set. And, you know, Nigel Bradham is a guy that they, you know, one of our inside linebackers. I've been really impressed with him as well.
Rex Ryan on the Rich Eisen show today. He says we have a little nickel. I mean, it sounds like he's a little pet or something. We have a little nickel that we like a lot. I was like little Penny Hardaway or something.
Yeah, we always go around to him, just pat him on the head.
He's not that little. little Nickel Roby.
Yeah,
Nickel Roby. Rex Ryan also, you know, he made the statement last week. He was asked about LeBron James and the NBA and then asked about his own quarterback issues. And Rex Ryan was asked what he meant when he said last week, when he said, we don't have a LeBron James playing quarterback here.
We don't have, you know, we don't have that one guy that, you know, is going to put it, you know, the team on his shoulders, kind of like a Peyton Manning would or somebody like that. We don't have that, but we can, you know, it's not an excuse by any stretch, but we're going to be good enough to get it done a different way. And, you know, we have capable quarterbacks. We just don't have the, you know, probably one good enough to, you know, do it himself.
Many people are mentioning that Tyrod Taylor may have a shot at gaining this starting job. Would you say that he does have a shot at the starting job?
Absolutely, I would. I think, you know, nothing's been decided. You know, obviously we haven't even been in pads yet. But, you know, as the OTAs are finishing up this week and things, you know, nobody's really taking that thing to say, hey, this is definitely the number one guy. And you know, all three guys have had their moments. You know, Tyrod Taylor's one of them.
Rex Ryan on the Rich Eisen podcast today, some of his comments there. Call here from Mark in Amherst. Mark, you're telling us about the season ticket record. Why do you think that's happened this year, a record number of season tickets sold?
Because new blood in there and Rex Ryan, just his name alone.
I'm sorry, the first thing you said was Pagulas?
Yeah, the Pagulas show, new boys. They're eager to build this team, and Rex Ryan.
Are you a season ticket holder, Mark?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you.
Are you a season ticket holder?
No, but I've been a fan since I was back in the 60s.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for calling in. He's got Pagulas and Rex Ryan as the reasons. And I think that's that covers it mostly, I think. There are other reasons. Some people like the schedule. Some people, you know, like the fact that the Bills have made all those moves. Some people just love pro football, I think, here in Western New York. Talking about season tickets, the Bills selling a record 57,500 season tickets this year, and we want to know why from you. We'll get back to your phone calls as we move through the night, and you can call up and wait online for a minute or two. 803-0550 is the number. We're toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Coming up next, though, we'll sit down with Russ Brandon, the Bills president, to talk about the season ticket record shattered by the Buffalo Bills today. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Big news announced by the Buffalo Bills today. They have set a franchise record for season ticket sales, and joining us in studio to talk about it is Bills President Russ Brandon. Russ, thank you for coming in, and congratulations. This is a big milestone.
Yeah, thanks, Murph. It was a great day for the franchise, great day for our fans, and you know, to announce that we've broken the franchise all-time record is really humbling to everyone here with the organization, and it's a thrill for the people who've been involved here for a long time to see us get to this mark.
Let's talk about the numbers for a second. What number do you have for season ticket sales right now?
Right now, we're north of 57.5, which broke our record of 57.132, which was set in 1992. And ticket sales are going very well, obviously. But, you know, our season ticket members have the opportunity, Murph, last week to purchase individual games as well as part of one of their benefits. And right now, with individual games, the only game that's available in a limited capacity is the Jets game.
Which is the very last game of the season,
correct.
January 3rd.
Correct.
So back to the season ticket sale numbers for a second. That's 10,000 above last year's number of season tickets
right.
sold.
And we had a
that's
very,
pretty amazing.
We had a very good foundation last year. We were at 47 and change. And, you know, we did some analysis of, you know, when we took over in 97, the average, it was 31,141 in 1997, and we were able to put ourselves in position where our average is 42,944 over those 17 years. But we were laughing about it today that in 2008, we were at 56,011, and we thought we had a good chance to break the record that year. So for people who have been involved in this for a while and building the foundation of this, it's obviously a rewarding day.
You and I have talked about this before. You think, don't let me put words in your mouth, you think one of the biggest considerations maybe for this spike this year is the fact that people now believe and know about the continuity of the franchise because of the Pegula's assuming ownership. There's no longer a worry about why should I invest emotionally or financially in a team that might not be here in 5 years?
There's no question. I think it's the number one reason, and everything else is a part of the process. But I think the foundation of why we're sitting here today talking about this is because of Terry and Kim Pegula, the stability of the franchise, the continuity of the franchise for generations to come. You know, I know we've talked about it on this show before, but that collective anvil we've all been carrying around and we threw in the bottom of Lake Erie on October 8th, is no longer, and we can see it in the data. When you look back in October, November, and December of last year, we had record deposits for new season tickets, and we had record renewals during that time frame. So this year, our renewal percentage is 96%, which is also a record for us. And then if you looked at last year, we were at 90% renewal, which is very good. So from all those factors have played a huge role in why we're here today. But there's no question the number one reason is because of Terry and Kim Pegula and them purchasing the franchise.
We talk about this on our show quite a bit recently, Russ, about the Los Angeles initiative and how the folks in San Diego and Oakland and St. Louis are living the nightmare that many of us feared for Buffalo.
You know, it's funny, Murph. You sit here and a year ago today, you know, we're announcing a record today. And a year ago, I was probably in some conference room in the sales process of the franchise. So it's amazing to think yeah. that just a little over a year ago, we were going through that. And, you know, you hear about, you know, L.A., and I know it was on people's minds here for years upon years. And yeah. it's nice that we can just sit back in our lounge chair and not worry about it.
How much do you, and I don't know if there's a way to quantify all of these things, but the addition of Rex Ryan, the aggressive approach to free agency, that has to mean something in terms of ticket sales and the faith that people have demonstrated.
Well, if you look at the research, the second, really the number one focus in sales is the direction of the franchise. So I think when you cobble all those together and the aggressive nature that Doug Whaley and our personnel department have taken with acquiring talent and what they've built through the draft, over the last 3 years. It's a credit to them also, because this has not been a one-year process. This has been a building block type process that he's undertaken, and I think it's all part of why we're sitting here today.
And also, and we've talked about this also, the commitment of the fans, not just this year, buying in this year to, for whatever reason, but as you pointed out on your news conference earlier today, it's been a pretty solid base of fan support, even through some lean years, some non-playoff
years. It's incredible, Murph. You know, we talk about, you know, what our fans, how loyal our fans are, and it's not just today. And it you look over, and I stated, look at the 42.944 average season ticket number over the last 17 years, and those have been some lean years for people, and some disappointment for everyone who's been involved in this organization. So our fans have been out. We've sold out over 80% of our games during that time frame. The loyalty is incredible. And also on the corporate side as well, which should not be, you know, pushed aside. You know, we're at basically a sold-out status with our suites. We have been for many years. The corporate support with our stakeholders on that front, it helped us survive in the new NFL and thrive in the new NFL to put us in a position a year ago when we sold this franchise. So it's a credit to everyone in our community and in our region. Obviously, regionalization has been a big part of our success on the business side. What we've been able to develop in Rochester and how we have built the corridor up the QEW, that all plays a part in the success that we've had at the box office and in our corporate side.
Russ Brandon, the Bills president, in studio with us talking about the announcement today that the Bills have set a franchise record for season ticket sales, 57,500. And it does play into, as you said a moment ago, the availability of individual season tickets. And basically, one of the benefits for season ticket members, those 57,500, is an opportunity to buy extra tickets, right, for individual games. And they've responded in that.
Yeah, no question. You know, last week, it's one of the benefits for season ticket members to have the opportunity to buy individual game tickets to take care of friends and family who might be coming into town. And we saw really record sales on that front. And that's one of the reasons we're in a position right now where really on the individual game front, we have very little inventory available. And it's really only focused at the Jets game right now. So we have a Groupon sale that is scheduled for Friday, the 19th, and we're going to continue with that, but that will really be focused, you know, within the individual game tickets for the Jets. And our individual game sale, which is scheduled for Wednesday, July 29th, is being evaluated right now based on the inventory.
You might not have anything?
We may not. So, you know, that's the art of ticketing. Chris Cleary, who runs our ticket department, deserves a gigantic pat on the back for how he's put this program together over time, and Mike Chahosky and the entire sales and service department all deserve, like I said, a couple pats on the back for what they've been able to achieve. And, you know, it's a year-round business now, the ticket business. It's not just those pockets of the calendar that were the way ticketing was back in the early to late 90s. So we're in a position right now where we have to evaluate, you know, how many more seasons we sell and then what goes into the market.
I was going to say, you still have season tickets available,
right? We do. We have
right?
season tickets on hold for our sales process. And then as we see where tickets are going over the next month, there is the possibility that some tickets will be available on the system. It's just how we go with seasons over the next month or so, month to 6 weeks.
We were talking a moment ago about the spike in season ticket sales. I wonder if there's any consideration about essentially the new stadium, the way the place looks, the fan amenities that are over there now, the everything that's been done over the last year or two to make that place a better venue.
Well, I certainly think that plays a role. We saw that last year, Murph, with the spike in seasons. But also the work that Andy Major's done with our fan conduct and fan behavior and all the initiatives that we have put in place around the facility to make the experience the best it can be. It's a work in progress. We're always looking to improve, but it is night and day compared to 15 years ago, the experience from the time you enter the parking lot to the time you leave. So that plays a role as well. You know, we want families back in the building. We've been trying to clean that up. We've been working with the county and the state and our sheriffs and everyone on that front. And that has seen huge improvement over time. And, and Andy and his group have done a fantastic job.
Yeah, I know this is business for you, and you go around the league, you look at other teams and what they put together as far as their fan experience. That has evolved over the last decade and a half, not just here, but all over professional sports, really, isn't it? I mean, people expect a better experience.
It's now a 180, Murph, compared to what it was, you know, when we started here in 97. You know, not only when you look at how the business is built, but the fan experiences and what people want, how they take in their content, how they experience a game. You know, you look at how kids nowadays look at four screens compared to the one we looked at, how their favorite team is the Buffalo Bills plus their two fantasy teams. It's just a different way of life.
Yeah. Russ Brandon, Bills president, in studio with us. Russ, you and several staff members on a different topic went to London last week to get ready for the game in October, October 25th against the Jaguars, and the preparation for that game. What did you see over there? What are you looking at over there?
A lot of logistics, Murph. You know, obviously we looked at how our setup is at our team hotel. We have some sponsors and guests going out, and we have another location that we looked at. Central London has a lot of traffic, so from the standpoint of logistics, getting the team to and from, just trying to map everything out, worked with the UK NFL office the whole week. There's a lot that goes into it. They're very prepared, do an excellent job. I think our game is the 13th game they've hosted, regular season game, since the International Series has begun. So they have it down pretty well. But you know, we're excited because they were, you know, we're also the game where Regent Street, which is one of the main shopping areas, they close it down on Saturday and have over 600,000 people for an event for both the teams. So it happens to be our game as well. So there's a lot that goes into that. And I think the real cool part is that they've said they've heard so much from people from Western New York that are coming over. So I think we'll travel well, and I think people are really take in the experience and make it a lot of fun and give us a little, maybe hopefully a little bit of a home crowd.
The game sells out, right?
The game was sold out in like 10 minutes.
What's that stadium like as an NFL venue?
Absolutely beautiful. They've done a great job at, you know, the old Wembley compared to the new Wembley. And it's a beautiful setup, and, you know, they're well prepared for NFL games.
Last thing, Russ, just to wrap up the season ticket sales, it strikes me what an incredible success story this is and it has been for a long time here in one of the NFL's smallest markets to set a record for season ticket sales. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's really an honor to be a part of it. We've had you know, a lot of people that work very hard on the business front to build this, and again, it's a credit to our fans and you know, their loyalty and commitment to the organization. And there's no better place to work in this league than in Buffalo.
Russ, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Russ Brandon is the Bills president, joining us in studio. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Russ Brandon, Bills president, talking about the announcement today, 57,500 plus season ticket holders, members. What do you think of that? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number toll free, 1-888-550-2550. What happened? How did Buffalo rocket up to 57,500 season tickets? Tony calling from Sloan. Tony, what do you think?
Hey, John, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, John, I'm only 25. This is my fourth year having season tickets. When I was younger, it was almost like you're not cool if you're a Bills fan. But now, kids my age, we are loving the Bills. Everybody's proud to, you know, represent the red, white, and blue. It's a party atmosphere down there. I think my demographic, my age group is going to, you know, carry this team for years to come. It's cool again to be a Bills fan, and I love that. I love going to the game. I love the, you know, the parking lot before, and, you know, even after, even win or lose, it's still a great time. You know, everybody's in good high spirits. You know, I think it's a great thing, especially kids my age.
What happened, Tony, to make it cool again, do you think?
I don't know. It's this vibe that you get going to the games. I have to say, when I was, you know, younger, it was, you know, you like all the best teams, and the Bills weren't, you know, one of the better teams. But then you learn quickly when your dad and your uncle remind you of the early '90s Bills, and then you just start loving it, and then you just love this team, and you feel so much for it, and you don't want to lose it, and then I love going to them, and I'm just glad that all my friends are Bills fans, and it's just one thing that we all can come together for and, you know, celebrate every Sunday.
Tony, great. Thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing that with us. We want to hear from you. Why did the Bills set a season ticket record this year, 57,500? What do you think happened from the days that Tony was talking about when it wasn't cool to be a Bills fan? I mean, they haven't made the playoffs in 15 years. That's out there. We all know that. I have we've talked about it in the first hour tonight. Obviously, the ownership stability to me is number one. The excitement with Rex Ryan and the personnel moves, number two. I also think, and I brought this up with Russ, and this is something that I think might be overlooked a little bit. The atmosphere in the stadium is dramatically improved from where it was, say, 10, 12 years ago. It's a much, I believe, and I've been at every home game, it's a much more family-friendly place. It's, I think they've done a great job of trying to tap into what fans are looking for and giving them what they need, whether it's, you know, new scoreboards, video boards, more replays, games, for, you know, other NFL games, highlights up on the board, updates on that. They are trying and continue to try to improve the Wi-Fi experience in the stadium, which is critical for younger people. I think younger people demand that at every sporting event. And that's hard to do when you've got 73,000 people in one place one day, eight times a year. It's hard to do, I guess, they tell me. And they're working on that. They continue to work on that. But I think they've done a really good job. And our buddy Andy Major, who comes in here during the regular season, during the home games a lot, to talk about improving the fan experience, they want that feedback. They want to know what the experience was like in the stadium, how to make it better, whether it's fan behavior, access and egress from the stadium, concession options. I mean, look at what's been done to the stadium this past year and the renovation that went on this past year in terms of concession options and food options that are in the stadium. They've come a long, long way in the last 10 or 12 years, and I do think that's a bit overlooked when we talk about, you know, why 57,500 season tickets this year. Yes, it's stable ownership, it's the product on the field, but it's also, I think, the stadium experience in Ralph Wilson Stadium now, what, 42 years old, is a much better experience than it was just 5 to 10 short years ago. I believe that. All right, we'll talk more about this. The season ticket sales up to 57,500. You can call in next hour and tell us what you think about that. 803-0550, the number, or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Our buddy Paul Peck's going to join us to talk about the Monday Quarterback Club next hour. And we're going to talk about the Raiders. How much longer will they be the Oakland Raiders? That's coming up at 8:30. An hour to go, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Let's go! Let's go! And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now. Woo! Let's go. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Hour two of the show, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and we're here until 9 o'clock tonight. And a lot to talk about this hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about the Oakland Raiders. Mike Wagaman of Silver and Black Illustrated, who covers that team for Associated Press and several other outlets, will be joining us at 8:30 tonight. What about the future of the Raiders in Oakland? We'll talk with Mike Wagaman about that. We've been talking tonight about the future of the Bills and the fact that today the Bills announced that 57,500 season tickets have been sold so far for this year, and they're probably going to cap it at 60,000. Russ Brandon joined us the first hour of the show, the Bills president, and he talked to the media today, earlier today, about that, and he says, yeah, it's likely, actually, that they're going to cap the season ticket sales at 60,000, and it might not take much longer.
We plan on capping seasons at 60. If we get there, you know, we're, as I said, we're north right now of 57.5. We anticipate that there's an opportunity we could get there, and we will cap seasons at that point. Like I said, we will go on with the Groupon sale on Friday, and we're scheduled to have our individual game on sale on Wednesday, July 29th, I believe. And right now we're going to evaluate that based on what the inventory looks like.
Can you explain the thought process behind that? Because obviously, you know, you have to pick a number and then decide, do we do this, do we not? So what's the whole thought process?
Well, the thought process is, again, it's the art, you know, of it, you know, and how you hold. And we have obligations as an NFL franchise, also with holds for visiting teams and for different, you know, different avenues. So we have to be, you know, again, it's, you know, that's what Chris works on, is what we can, what we do hold and what we don't hold, and how we let those tickets available to the public. There could be tickets that do come available in July, but right now that's what our calendar is right now.
That's Russ Brandon, the Bills president. Want to hear from you. Why do you think season tickets have reached a all-time high, 57,500? What are the reasons for that? Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. Thomas calling from Orchard Park. Thomas, what do you think?
Hi, how you doing? Murph, I just want to say you and Jay do a great job on the show.
Thank you.
Pleasure to listen to you every night.
I don't pay Tom to call in every night, but well, if Tom wants to call in, I know
him. I renew my tickets every year, and I've been because my dad took me when I was a kid, and him and I go, you know, every year, and along with my godfather, and it's mainly for memories.
So it coming to the game reminds you of going every year? It's like a family thing.
Oh, yeah, but we keep doing it, and we just keep creating memories, just family memories. And, you know, I've been going for about 15 years now, so pretty much all the losing. But, you know, he's been a season ticket holder since the early 90s, and, you know, hopefully – you know, him and I can enjoy some winning season soon. But, you know, win, lose, or draw, it's still, you know, at the end of the day, it's fun to share those memories in that stadium with my dad and my godfather.
All right, Thomas, thanks for calling. We're talking to Bills fans and I guess preferably season ticket holders tonight and asking them, what happened here? How did the Bills set a record this year for 57,500 season tickets sold? Lines are open, 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Joe Ginelli tweets in, we bought our season tickets because the John Murphy Show has us pumped up. Yes. That's what we want to hear, Jay. There's a little bit
something extra
in your pay envelope this week because of that.
All right.
Yeah. Anthony Fosso, wonder how many season tickets were bought for sale on secondary market. I don't know. I mean, maybe the secondary market is out there. It's real. Season ticket holders had an opportunity to buy individual game tickets, and could they resell them on the secondary market? Sure, they can. That you know, the Bills will tell you that that's one of the. One of the perks of being a season ticket member is to get the first crack at the individual game tickets, and that could be happening, that's for sure. Here's a call from Tim in West Falls. Tim, your thoughts on the season ticket sales spike for the Buffalo Bills. What do you think?
John, hello.
Hello.
I was calling just to basically say I think it's a testament to the improvements at the stadium, the scoreboards and just the atmosphere there. And I think in a larger sense, it also means I think we're good for stadiums. I don't think we really need to jump right into a downtown stadium or anything like that.
When you mean jump right in, do you mean next year or do you mean 10 years down the road?
Well, maybe much farther down the road, but I just love the experience the way it is now, open air.
Yep.
It's got Ralph's name on it and just everything that's when I feel when I go to the game.
One more question I have for you, Tim, and I'm not grilling you here, but when you say the stadium experience, how has that improved for you in particular over the last couple of years?
You know, I've never had a problem going to the games. You've always heard the stories in the past that it's not family friendly. I've never had problems going with my son, and I'm proud to be a season ticket holder.
Okay, thanks, Tim. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Bob in Erie, Pennsylvania. Bob, your thoughts on the jump in season ticket sales for the Bills this year?
John, I think it's you. It's the media. It's the internet. It's the websites.
Really?
I'm in Erie. I'm too old to go to the games. I'm in my 80s. But I live and breathe the Bills every day of the week. In the morning, I look up your website. I look at all the news flashes and so forth. And I think everybody is close. Everybody knows every player on the team with the interviews, with the new coaches, it's just fantastic. We never had anything like this before.
You know,
when they first started up, we had to drive to East Aurora to watch Buster Ramsey over there.
Yeah.
And then if you were lucky, you might see an article in the paper about it. Today, there's a million articles every day you can read.
Yeah. Good point, Bob. And that it, what has happened with Bills coverage is mirrored all over the National Football League. It is saturation coverage 12 months a year. We're here 5 nights a week, 12 months a year doing this show. That didn't exist until the last 3 years. The internet coverage, obviously, has only been a fairly recent phenomenon. You can't escape the NFL. It is in your face 12 months a year, to the detriment, I think, of some other sports. But I've said this on the show a number of times over the last 3 years. There appears to be no end in sight for people's appetite for NFL information and entertainment. And I don't know where it ends. I've scratched my head sometime and say, really? More? But we keep doing more. Zach calling from West Seneca. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
How are you, bud, man? It's good to talk to you. I listen to you frequently.
Thank you.
My opinion is that we have a fantasy football roster and our offense. And the media is attracting attention because for the first time in however long they're writing positive things about us. People are picking us to go 9-0 and whatnot when we hired a new head coach who has a big name and is going to sell tickets along with Percy Harvin, who is going to sell tickets, make plays. People are just more interested in seeing the Bills than pretty much ever, and I can't blame them. I am as well.
Are you season ticket holder, Zach?
I am not. Unfortunately, I could not afford the tickets.
Okay. You think you'll get to a game
18,
this year?
I'm only 18 years old, so there's only so much I can do. But, yeah, every single person who pays any attention to the Bills at all either wants season tickets or has them.
Uh-huh. You think you'll get to a game?
People just say, I want to see them.
Zach, do you think you'll be able to get to a game?
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Okay, thanks. And I hope so, too. I hope that the surge, I mean, they're going to cap it, as Russ Brandon said. If it gets to 60,000, they'll cap it there. And you'd hope that people, I mean, I believe in supply and demand, and I just hope that people don't get shut out who want to go to games, who cannot afford season tickets. The blackout is over. There are no more television blackouts, so every game will be televised. But I think there's nothing like the game day experience, especially in the renovated Ralph Wilson Stadium, as a couple of our callers have noted.
And now, Subway Fresh Takes. Subway, eat fresh.
Some fresh takes from our next guest. This is a group that's been supporting the Buffalo Bills for decades. It's the Monday Quarterback Club, and the president of the board of directors of the Monday Quarterback Club joins us in studio for some fresh takes. Our old buddy Paul Peck, formerly of News 4 Buffalo. We're former co-workers, Paul.
Yeah, it's always
good. And the
good.
Bills Radio Network.
You know, you and Jay, it's always good to see you guys. You know, we spent a lot of time together and a lot of years doing sports at Channel 4, and it's always good for me to catch up with you guys.
And we were all sitting here a minute ago talking about how none of us really miss working in television.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what that says. It's just changed, and we're all happy with what we do, and that's good.
Yeah, and you know, and again, for me, making a career change to now being a financial professional at AXA Advisors has opened up some opportunities, like being a part of the Quarterback Club now, and that's what I'm more than happy to be able to talk about today, and thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
As well.
How did you become the president of the Quarterback Club?
Well, as you're familiar, when you're in the media, the Quarterback Club was always very gracious about having local media people that covered the Bills come in and speak at their events, which generally come on a Monday after a home game. So I had a chance to get to know some of the folks there from just being a media MC and a media speaker. So when I left the Channel 4 3 years ago and made the transition to what I'm doing now at AXA, they reached out to me and they said, hey, you are now a business professional. We are a group of business professionals, and it's a good chance for you to get to know other people, other businessmen in Western New York, network with them. So we'd like to have you on our board of directors. So I joined the board 3 years ago, and then that sort of transitioned into them asking me and me accepting to be the president going into this 2015. My timing pretty good with all the excitement and season ticket sales and everything else going on.
You picked a good year. When you talk about networking with business professionals, that's kind of exactly what the Monday Quarterback Club was all about when it first started up, right?
Yeah, it's been cool for me to get to know a little bit about what the history of this club is, and it was essentially started by Ralph Wilson back in the early days in the 1960s of the Bills, when Ralph would get together at various places like the old Odd Club, mm-hmm. or the Saturn Club or whatever, and, you know, I like to joke about a couple, like a two-martini lunch on a Monday after a Bills game with the Titans of Buffalo business at the time. And what Ralph would do would review the game and talk about what happened in the game. And he, in turn, would ask for some help from those business folks to get the word out about the team when sponsorships, season ticket sales weren't maybe as easy to do back in 1960 or 61 than they are now. So that was the nature of the club, and it has continued to roll along here from its inception back in those days, and it has always been geared towards business people and a chance for them to connect with the Bills, connect with people that are involved in making the decisions at the Bills, get a chance to know what some of the behind-the-scenes things that the decisions and what makes things tick over here at One Bills Drive, and that has continued now, although we're evolving a lot, particularly this year, which we'll talk about in a moment, but things are a little different than they were back in those days.
My first exposure, Paul,
except for you, you still do your two martini lunches, don't you?
I've never done two martinis in my life total. My first exposure to the Monday Quarterback Club came in the mid-80s when I started covering the team, and it was the Odd Club luncheon, and the people there, and this again was just, what, 4 or 5 years after, actually just a couple of years after Chuck Knox left, but they said Chuck Knox was an integral part of, yes, the development of the Quarterback Club. They said he'd love to come down to the Odd Club and light up, back in the day when you could, one of those, you know, foot-long cigars and hobnob with business people on a Monday after,
yeah,
a game. I mean, it was a different era then. Coaches don't do that now. But
no,
they said Chuck Knox was really Mr. Quarterback Club.
Yeah, he really liked it. He would bring his buddies in that were at the games on Sunday from down there in Pittsburgh, bring them into the games. But yeah, Chuck Knox was really one of the driving forces behind keeping this club going and keeping it moving. And then again, it's evolved, and the Bills have always been wonderful supporters of us and always been cooperative and always understood that we're a group that's trying to help them, you know, with whatever it is that they need to, you know, to help with. And it's been a great connection. Like I always tell people, it's a great, if you're a business person, and you don't have to be, but if you're a business person in Western New York and you're a Bills fan, it's the perfect connection between your two interests.
Paul Peck is our guest. He is the president of the board of directors of the Monday Quarterback Club, affiliated with the Buffalo Bills, the business group that backs the Bills. And it changed as far as scheduling this year,
yeah,
right? Tell me
well,
about that.
You know, I mean, we live in a world now where it's a little harder for people to get 2 hours off for lunch. I mean, the nature of this club has been those Monday luncheons, but it was getting very hard to do that now, and people were letting us know, boy, we'd love to come to your events, but I can't get off of work, or I can't make it down there. So last year we did a few evening events, and they were very successful, had great turnouts. People weren't in a rush to get out of there. They were hanging around. They were talking. So we decided to rip the Band-Aid off a little bit this year. We're going all evening events. So all of our Monday Quarterback Club events, and there will be six of them in addition to a training camp trip, which we have coming up. But they'll all be approximately 6 o'clock starts, just because it's the world we live in a little bit now, you know, and we're trying to appeal to a wider demographic, some of the young professionals that are Bills fans. We want to, you know, get them involved in our club as well, too. So we just felt like it was going to be a lot easier to do that in an evening setting.
Want to invite our listeners, if you have a comment or a question for Paul about the Monday Quarterback Club, phone lines open at 803-0550 or toll-free outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You've got the schedule laid out for the season. Mm-hmm. You don't know venues yet, but you're going to move it around a little bit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, again, part of it's trying to just, you know, change things up a little bit, and there's so much happening in this city, so much happening downtown. We wanted to be a part of that, you know. So our next big event is our training camp trip, our annual training camp trip. That's going to be on Monday, August 3rd. In the past, we've taken a couple of busloads of Bills fans. We meet up in Clarence, hop on the bus, drive to training camp, have food in one of the tents. We always get great guest speakers. I've already got you lined up for the schedule this year, right?
Okay.
I didn't tell you that, but
no,
you're already lined up for that.
Is that Monday, August 3rd.
Monday, August 3rd.
Right,
the Bills have always been great about getting us, remember, the coaching staff, sometimes the head coaches as well, too. So that's our big event. And then after that, we're going to do an August 31st sort of preseason cocktail party mixer, probably down at 716. Again, all these are a little bit tentative, but 716 is the place to be for sports fans. We want to be a part of that. So we're looking to have one event there. And then the rest of our events will be roughly once a month after a Monday home game. And we've got got the schedule of dates on our website at MondayQBC.com, but we're going to have, it looks like, pretty good bet that New Era has, we're going to host one of our events down there, and they're going to give us a little tour, and they're going to have some of their folks speak that are involved in their NFL contract for the Hats, and we're going to probably have one down at the First Niagara Center. We're even talking about maybe getting into the brand new Marriott that's due to open at the Harbor Center. So, you know, those are all a little bit in flux right now, but we're starting to pin some of those down. So instead of being at one place for every event, we're going to move it around and let people really experience Western New York.
I'm always amazed when I am invited to go to the Monday Quarterback Club, how jam-packed the program is. Usually when I go, I am one of four, maybe five speakers. I mean, talking about a variety of different things.
Yeah, we always, a media member is always usually our guest MC, and we get their comments on the Bills game. We always try to have a Bills alum, maybe somebody that's in town for the game that weekend. If they'll stick around, we get them to come on. You know, always when the opportunity presents itself to a player or a coach, you know, when they're free, and maybe those evening meetings will free a little bit of that up as well too. So, you know, and then there's special guests. We had one of our best speakers last year was David Baker, the president of the Hall of Fame, who was a wonderful speaker about what the Hall of Fame was all about and the connection with Buffalo for the Hall of Fame. So, you know, when the opportunity arises, media members from out of town, you know, whenever we can get Denny Lynch, our former friend who worked for many years in the Bills. Well, he's my friend too, but he's a big part of our programming because Denny has so many connections around the NFL. So we try to make it appealing and exciting for people to say, hey, I want to hear what that guy has to say.
Last year, the one night I was there, Bill Polian was there signing his new book, you know, before he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What a great opportunity. And he had some tremendous stories about stuff that went on when he was GM here.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys are so, you know, so willing to be a part of it. We've had Steve Tasker, and we've had Thurman Thomas, and Fred Jackson came to one of our events, and Reuben Brown was at one last year. I mean, you know it. The Bills alums, ones that are in town or the ones that aren't in town but come to town, are always willing to connect with Bills fans. And I like to think that we're one of those venues for them to connect with it. So yeah, you know, the programming is always evolving, but we're starting to get working on that as well too.
You have probably, in your 3 years since you've left TV and been in the financial advising industry, you probably made contacts at these events. I'm thinking of people who might be listening here tonight thinking about, well, I could probably expand my network a little bit if I go to a couple of things. And if you're a Bills fan, this is kind of a natural. You got to build in discussion points.
Yeah, I mean, again, everybody in the world we live in now, everybody's looking to get a chance to network themselves and to meet other people. And it's been a wonderful opportunity to meet people in areas that I didn't necessarily walk in before, but there's so many great people who are doing so many good things and starting businesses and running businesses and off on their own and a part of sort of this resurgence that we're seeing around Western New York. And this is a place where you can get a chance to meet those people, and you can maybe make a connection that will benefit your business and vice versa. And that's what networking is all about. And again, here we're doing it in a Bills fan setting with a chance to really get some neat insight into what's going on with the team, and that's what I think makes this club so unique.
How do you think the Monday Quarterback Club helps the Bills, helps the franchise?
Well, you know, we've always done our best to try to promote the team and sponsorship opportunities, and not that they need a lot of help, but season tickets and anytime you know, the Bills want to talk about some of their community relations efforts, they've always been great about coming and letting us know and letting our group know about it, knowing how members of our group can help them in things like that. So it's been, like I said, a wonderful relationship. Russ Brandon's been a huge supporter of our group, and the guys here at the Bills, Dave Wheat and Bill Munson and Scott Birchtold, have been terrific about being wonderful supporters for our group.
It's not just men.
Oh, right? No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. We have a probably good 25% of our members are women, and we know how many, you know, the Bills fans are. There's business owners that are female business owners as well too, and we'd love to have even more of them be a part of our club too.
Paul Peck is our guest. He is president of the Monday Quarterback Club with the Buffalo Bills. Also, the play-by-play voice of the UB football Bulls, and big changes over there. New coaching staff.
Yeah,
what have you learned so far?
A lot of excitement. I got a chance to. Lance Leipold comes from the Division III ranks at Wisconsin Whitewater, where, I mean, Murph, the numbers are incredible. 8 seasons, 109 wins, only six losses in eight seasons there. He won six national championships. I mean, it's an incredible record. The guy can coach football. He's in the process, along with his assistants, of learning what the transition is from a Division III level to a Division I level. But football's football, and good X's and O's and good player evaluation and good game plans are the same at that at any level. And they're a really bright, sharp group of assistant coaches. I've been very impressed with Lance. He's just the kind of guy, when you talk to him, he's like, this guy knows, he has a plan, he knows what it takes to win, and he'll get things going in an even better and more positive direction at UB. So I'm excited for the season. A lot of good players coming back on offense in particular, I think it's going to be a fun year at UB as well, too.
I had a chance to watch some of the spring practice, and they were over here in the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse, and Joe Licata was not practicing right then. What's the prognosis for him?
He should be ready to go. He had off-season hip surgery, and he's been battling that for a couple of years, but it didn't slow him down. Last year, he set a school record for touchdown passes. He'll wind up pretty much owning every single UB all-time career passing record before the year is out. And last time I talked to Joe, he said he'll be ready to go for fall practice. The guys, I think, are in town now doing sort of summer workouts without the coaches, and I'm pretty sure Joe is a part of that as well, too. So he'll bring in back a four-year starter at quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in their conference. Like I said, owns every school record. So that certainly, anytime you can bring that guy back at the most important position, that makes you feel good. And, oh, by the way, he's got a running back who had 1,400 yards rushing last year and didn't make anybody. And we all love Brandon Oliver here, but there were times when Anthony Taylor, he didn't miss Brandon Oliver, and he's coming back as well, too.
Very interesting schedule, home and away for the Bulls.
Yeah,
huh?
Part of a neat non-conference schedule. I think a great non-conference schedule for a program at UB's level. It opens up with an in-state rival, Albany. There's only two other SUNY schools that play football, Stony Brook and Albany, so they get a chance to play one of them is great. Then a trip to Penn State, which will be an awesome experience to go down there, to Beaver Stadium and see the Nittany Lions play. And then two games which are teams at the level that UB is at. Florida Atlantic out of Conference USA and Nevada out of the Mountain West. Not Power 6 BCS conferences, but schools that play in that next tier, mid-level, where UB is with the Mid-American Conference. I think it's great that UB is playing schools that they'll have a chance to be competitive against in those two games.
Paul Peck is the voice of the UB Bulls. He's also the president of the Monday Quarterback Club. We got a call for you here, Paul. You got time for a call?
Sure, always.
Steve from Amherst. Steve, your question, please.
Yes. Hi, John. Hi, Paul. Great show.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I was just wondering, Paul, is there any chance you could get someone from the Buffalo Bills to talk a little bit about the X's and O's of the game at one of your events for men and women to learn more about the game? What are your thoughts on that?
It's a great idea, Steve. And again, part of the disadvantage that we had when we were doing luncheons was that the coaching staff was busy with the players and busy in the game planning process, and it was just never really very feasible in the day and age of the NFL to get a coach to take a couple hours out at 11 o'clock in the morning and come downtown for our meeting. And again, I don't know that a 6 o'clock meeting for what coaches do on Mondays is going to make it much easier to do that.
Monday's a big day.
But we're hoping maybe to have a couple events out here at the stadium, which might make that a little more logistically possible. But if it's not a current staff member of coach, we're going to try to find maybe some former coaches that can bring a little perspective into all that X's and O's and all 22 stuff that we've all become tuned into, knowing more about how plays work and why they work and why some things do and don't work. And I appreciate the recommendation, and we're going to get to work on it. We'll see if we can't have maybe one event. We may try to have a little bit of a theme on some of our events, to make it a little bit different when we're at the new era, and we'll have some folks from new era talk about sports marketing. That may be a theme on that event, and maybe we'll have kind of an X's and O's, learn what it's like to watch and understand a play tied into one of our events as well, too.
You have individual memberships, you have corporate memberships. Yep. How can people find out more about the Monday Quarterback Club?
The website is obviously the best place, because not only can you get all you need from MondayQBC.com, but as of this year, now our registration is online. You can pay via credit credit card for your membership online. For all of our current members, we're encouraging them to go to the website and register so we know when you're coming to the training camp trip or to one of the regular events. And there you can find some details on what it takes to become a member and what you get for being a member. And again, if you like the idea of our club and you want to be a part of it, the easiest and best way is to become a member, because that gets you into everything, all seven events for the rest of the year, and it allows you to bring a guest with you as well too. And it's for what we charge, I think it's a heck of a deal to get seven events like that and a meal and a chance to really get some neat insight. So MondayQBC.com has got information, and if you need to follow up on that, our phone number is on there as well too for more follow up info.
Paul, thanks. Good to talk with you.
Always a pleasure, Murph. You guys do an awesome job. It's a great. I tend to work a little later sometimes, so it's always a good listen when I'm driving home to find out what I missed in Bills land on a given day by listening to Murph and my guy Jay here run the show.
Jay's pretty much in
charge.
We
need a nickname for Jay, though. I hear you call him producer.
Show producer.
Before the season kicks off, I will do my best to help you come up with a good nickname for Jay.
Jay Bird goes well.
You know, I have plenty of nicknames, and some will even say it's ma'am when I go through the drive-thru. We joke about that, but come up with a good one. Don't screw this up.
All right, I won't. I won't. That is my goal, to come up with a good nickname for Jay.
Thanks.
All right, thanks. Paul Pecky is president of the Monday Quarterback Club, and if you need more information, go to their website, MondayQBC.com. MondayQBC.com. Going to talk about the Raiders. Do they stay or do they go? Mike Wagaman of the Silver and Black Illustrated coming up next on the show. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh.
Got the Subway Fresh Take Hotline opened up to the Bay Area of California, where they're all preoccupied with another professional sports team. But we're worried about the Raiders here in Buffalo. On the line with us is Mike Wagman, who's been covering the Raiders for Silver and Black Illustrated for almost 20 years now, reporting on the NFL, and he does writing for the Associated Press in Oakland, California, talking about the Raiders' impending move to Los Angeles. Mike, thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem, John. How you doing this evening?
Great. Is it all Warriors talk, or can you handle a couple of minutes of talking about the Raiders?
Absolutely. It's always good to talk football to break up the monotony out here of this seemingly 8-month NBA postseason.
Yeah. How many times can you say Stephon Curry is great? I mean, there's only so many ways you can say it. Hey, Mike. Mike, tell me, it looks like, based on what I read last week about the league meeting with some of these teams, it's almost like the NFL is greasing the wheels for these teams to move to Los Angeles. Is that the sense you get also?
Well, I don't know if they're greasing the wheels, but the NFL definitely knows it needs to get a team, most likely two, down into that L.A. market. It's been vacant, for far too long, both for the NFL and for the fans down there as well. You know, they supported the Raiders and the Rams both fine while those two teams were down there. And, you know, that's one of the biggest markets. I believe it's the second largest market in the country. And to not have a team down there is a shame. You know, whether you've got San Diego close or not, that's just a market that has to be filled. And I think the NFL has finally come to that realization. They're a little slow to the take sometimes. But they've finally come to the realization that, you know, it's imperative that they get an NFL franchise down there.
Mike, we've talked to reporters and others who, cover the San Diego Chargers and the St. Louis Rams over the last few weeks. And both of those cities, at least, are talking and are, in the case of St. Louis, are pretty, you know, far down the line in terms of building a new stadium, a new home for those teams. I get nothing like that coming out of Oakland. Are there any plans to find a new home for the Raiders in Oakland or in the Bay Area?
Well, I think that's the hope of Mark Davis, the Raiders owner. I mean, he's been adamant about the fact that he wants to remain up here. You know, Mark grew up son of Al Davis, and so when the Raiders were here the first time around, Mark was a young kid. So this is where he kind of grew up. This is where he feels comfortable. This is where he preferred to have the team, given if he could get a new stadium. And that's just simply not going to happen up here. I mean, unless there's a magical NFL stadium fairy somewhere that's going to come up with the $400 million that they're short for this proposed $900 million stadium,
which is cheap by you know today's standards,
sure.
then it's just not going to happen. The city of Oakland is still paying off the bill for the last renovation to the Oakland Coliseum when the Raiders came back in 1995, and they're not going to be able to put up the money, the public money that's needed for that. There has been various private investors who've come along with ideas, but nobody has come up with a proposal that is comforting, comfortable to both sides, to all sides. And, you know, Mark Davis is running out of time, and Mark Davis actually isn't running out of time. The city of Oakland's running out of time, and I believe within the next month or so, we'll probably hear a definitive that Oakland is one of the teams that's going back down to L.A.
You know, one thing is certain, Mike, is the need for a new stadium, and I speak from firsthand experience. We were there mid-December last year for the Bills and the Raiders, and I had not been there for several years. I was shocked at the condition of that stadium. I have to say, and this is not a knock on you, Mike, or the great people of Oakland, California, but it just did not seem like an NFL venue in any way.
And it's not. It's not, and it's the last, the Raiders are the last only NFL team still sharing facilities with a team from Major League Baseball. Yeah. And so you have the crossover. It's a problem for the Oakland A's, and it's a problem for the Oakland Raiders. And again, there's not been any money dumped into it since the Raiders came back. There's been all kinds of problems with that stadium. You've got sewage problems that have affected the Oakland Athletics. This last weekend, their facility sits right next door to Oracle Arena, which is where the Warriors play. And it was a good thing that the Warriors were on the road in Cleveland because they had a power outage that affected half of the Coliseum and all of Oracle Arena. So this is a facility that is antiquated in every way, shape, or form. And, you know, I think it's really sad in a lot of ways because where the facility is the best location in all of Northern California, in my opinion, to build a stadium, whether it's a baseball stadium or a football stadium. You have access to the freeways right next door. You have the Oakland Airport, which is a quarter mile down the road. You have, you know, public transportation, BART, their subway systems, all funnel right into that location. So it's the prime spot. That's where Mark Davis would love to have his new stadium built. But like I said, unless somebody comes up with $400 million really quick, I don't see it happening.
Is there not public support for a new stadium? I mean, do the politicians in Oakland think that they would not be able to get public support to build a stadium and keep the Raiders there?
You remember, this is a city that has got a lot of problems financially. You know, the school system's broke. There's a lot of other public entities that need money, and it's hard to explain to folks while you're still paying off. I believe the city of Oakland and county of Alameda still owe $80 million. In debt on the last bill, the last renovation when the Raiders came back, again, like I said, in 1995. So it's hard to convince the general community that, hey, we're still paying for this old bill, and by the way, we want to use other money to build this brand-new stadium. So I just don't see – I know that the fans would love to keep the team there, but it's just, you know, at what cost? And I just don't think that the city of Oakland has that type of financial backing.
I don't understand, and you mentioned Mark Davis has said that he wants to stay in Oakland, and yet he has moved forward with the Inglewood proposal with the
right.
with the Chargers, right? So what is he doing? He's playing both ends against the middle? Or
well,
what?
I think you know, he's been trying to give Oakland every opportunity to come to him and say, hey, we've made a deal. And unfortunately, the attitude of the city of Oakland has been one of almost apathy. It was funny, the Raiders – when they hired Jack Del Rio to be their head coach, one of the things he wanted to do was upgrade their facilities in nearby Alameda, their practice facilities. And so they've been funneling in, I believe, about upwards of $10 million worth of upgrades to their facilities. And the Oakland mayor, Libby Schaaf, came out publicly and said, see, that tells you right there they want to stay. Instead of being proactive and saying, okay, look, they're doing things to make their facilities here better, we need here in Oakland to do something to kind of counter that and kind of help balance this out and maybe convince them to stay. Instead, she just kind of says, hey, you know, it's there. They want to stay, so we don't have to do anything. It's just a bad fit right now, politically, you know, both business-wise for the Raiders and for the city of Oakland. Mark has to do something. He's given the city of Oakland, they've been looking for a new stadium for upwards of 6 to 7 years now, and they've got no movement from the city. So Mark publicly, you know, he doesn't want to alienate his fans up here like happened the first time when the team moved back in 81. You know, I think he's trying to keep this fan base from, you know, really for lack of a better word, burning down the house when they do move. And I, again, I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point that the Raiders will be one of the teams down in L.A.
I hate to hear that. And we're talking about, what, 2016 playing like Rose Bowl or Coliseum while they build the stadium in Inglewood? Is that what you're thinking?
You know what? I almost think that because of the upgrades they are making up here to their facilities, it's feasible that they could sign a series of one-year extensions, which they've done for the past 3 or 4 years at the Coliseum. They've been working on one-year extensions. It's going to take, you know, shovel hasn't even broken dirt down in Carson yet. So you're looking at a good 2 to 3 years before that stadium gets built, even once it's approved, if it is approved by the NFL. So the Raiders are going to need somewhere to play. It's easy to stay up here and do it rather than train up here and then, yeah, you know, play your home games down south, which is what they were doing when they moved up here. They were training down south in 95 and flying up here for games. And that had a big impact on the players, even though it was, you know, once a week travel, you're basically on the road the whole time. So optimum, I can see them signing, you know, maybe 1 or 2 one-year extensions to stay here in Oakland while the stadium is being built, and then eventually transfer operations down to Southern California.
Well, that'll be a sad day as far as I'm concerned. Mike, we thank you for coming on the show with us tonight to talk about it.
No problem, John. Anytime.
Okay. Mike Wagman, he is a reporter covering the Oakland Raiders for Silver and Black Illustrated. Been doing that for close to 20 years and covers the Raiders for the Associated Press out in the Bay Area as well. Mike joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Back to wrap things up when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from tonight's show?
Just a couple minutes left in tonight's show. What have we learned tonight? Well, we got a lot of feedback from callers about season ticket sales. 55-year history of the team. They've sold more season tickets this year than any other time. 57,500 season tickets sold. The previous record set in 1992, 57,132. Last year, 47,000 season tickets sold. A 10,000 season ticket spike from last year to this year. The reason? Well, we talked with Russ Brandon, the Bills president, about that on the show tonight, and he says franchise stability. The fact that the Pegulas have said the Bills are here to stay, he thinks that's the main reason why the ticket sales have gone up by 10,000 this year.
I think it's the number one reason, and everything else is a part of the process. But yeah, I think the foundation of why we're sitting here today talking about this is because of Terry and Kim Pegula, the stability of the franchise, the continuity of the franchise for generations to come. You know, I know we've talked about it on this show before, but that collective anvil we've all been carrying around and we threw in the bottom of Lake Erie on October 8th is no longer. And we can see it in the data. When you look back in October, November, and December of last year, we had record deposits for new season tickets, and we had record renewals during that time frame. So this year, our renewal percentage is 96%, which is also a record for us. And then if you look at last year, we were at 90% renewal, which is very good. So from all of those factors have played a huge role in why we're here today. But there's no question the number one reason is because of Terry and Kim Pegula and them purchasing the franchise.
I agree with Russ on that. I think most of our callers did as well. And how about the contrast between the stability of the franchise here and what our guest Mike Wagman of Oakland just said about, what do you call it, a foregone conclusion that the Raiders would be moving down south to Inglewood in the Los Angeles metropolitan area in the next couple of years or so. A foregone conclusion. How brutal is that? What else did we learn? We learned a lot about the Monday Quarterback Club that supports the Buffalo Bills from our buddy Paul Peck, who is the president of the Monday Quarterback Club, and he talks about the evolution of the club and how they work in concert with the franchise.
It's evolved, and the Bills have always been wonderful supporters of us and always been cooperative and always understood that we're a group that's trying to help them, you know, with whatever it is that they need to, you know, to help with. And it's been a great connection. Like I always tell people, it's a great, if you're a business person, and you don't have to be, but if you're a business person in Western New York and you're a Bills fan, it's the perfect connection between your two interests.
Bob Peck from the Monday Quarterback Club. And if you need more information on the Monday Quarterback Club, it is the website, MondayQBC.com, MondayQBC.com. Well, tomorrow's a big day here at One Bills Drive, the first day of the mandatory mini camp. All players should be there, present and accounted for, on the field at 10 a.m., and we'll have coverage of that. Sal Capaccio has the helm of the show tomorrow night, as I have another event to attend involving the Buffalo Bills. Not a night off. Jay, I saw that look on your face. It's not a day off for me tomorrow.
My eyes
I'll be
were
here
not rolling. I saw That's fine.
Yeah, but Sal Capaccio's got the show, and he will have complete coverage of day one of the Bills' mandatory minicamp. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Our engineer tonight, Pete Cargis is our engineer, right?
Pete Cargis, yes.
Production producer Jay Harris, production assistants from Bob Dingwall and Connor Beckman, and our director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Sal's got the show tomorrow night at 7 from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.